Lord, I ask that all my words and the meditations of each of our hearts would be acceptable in your sight, O Christ, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. My father was raised in the hills of Tennessee in a place called Stinking Creek. It was a hardscrabble existence. If you go there now, you will see high-end homes and beautiful vistas. They might have changed the name, but my mother used to say Stinking Creek was aptly named. And the people who lived up there lived in abject poverty. The one vocation that they had were coal miners. And so to make ends meet, people would work in the coal mines. My father had to work in the coal mines at some point in his life. And maybe that's why when he was 18, the minute he graduated high school, he got out of Stinking Creek. He went into the military. And then after the military, he found his home in New York City. Now you can take the boy out of the country, but you cannot take the country out of the boy. My father lived in New York for 40 years. That's where he raised us. And if you know anything about New York, the pace is very fast. Daddy was not fast. People would be chattering away, and they'd ask my father his opinion, and he'd take a deep breath and say, "Well..." And I could imagine them all standing on one leg, waiting for his opinion. Sometimes folks would run over him with their language because he never stepped up his pace. For 40 years, he lived like that. And he lived that way because he wanted to have a better life for his children. And also, his wife happened to be a native New Yorker. In retirement, his ideal was to go back to the mountains. Her ideal would have been to live in mid-Manhattan. Daddy's ideal won. Not because they fought, not because he won the argument, but my mother could see how the years had worn him down. He so longed for home. Now, they didn't go back to Stinking Creek in Tennessee, but they went to the next best place. They had a home in the Blue Ridge Mountains of Virginia. And it was a lovely place in the mountains that I remember visiting. And Daddy was in his glory with his coveralls. And everybody talked like him. And so my mother then was in exile for the last 20 years of her life because she knew that he had to come home. And if he didn't go home, she was afraid he would not survive. Home. Some of you only live a few steps from your ancestral home. You've been here all your life. You know what home means. And others of you, just like me, will never go home again. Home is a long way away. But home isn't just the four walls that encase us. Home is a place where you feel at peace, where you feel at home in yourself, where you feel like I can be who I am. It's an awesome thing to feel at home. The people in Isaiah's time did not feel at home. They had been taken from their ancestral home. They were now in Babylon. They felt that they were completely abandoned. Not only did they leave the place that they had resided, they felt like they had left the presence of Almighty God. Because their understanding was that God resided in Jerusalem. And more importantly, God resided in the temple. And when that temple was destroyed and they were taken away, it was as if they left God behind. In fact, one of the young men that they took away had a wonderful Jewish name. His name was Daniel. And Daniel's name means God is my judge. When he arrived in the courts of Babylon, he was given a new name. His name was Belshazzar, which means Bel, watch over him. Because they felt that the God of Israel had abandoned that boy, and he was such a wonderful young man that they wanted to give him a good name, the name of their God. And so Isaiah gives them a message of hope, and he says to them, even though you are away from Jerusalem, even though you feel like God has abandoned you, even though your life has been shattered, I have some news for you. God has not abandoned you. And he says, I have redeemed you. I have called you by name. You are mine. And wherever you travel, the floods will not overwhelm you. The fire will not touch you. You are my children. You are mine. What a wonderful message to people who feel that they are not at home with themselves or at home with God. God continually tells his people, you are mine. I think of that might be the reason why baptism is so important. Because when we bring our children, or when we come ourselves as adults, we know that God is saying, you are mine. When Jesus was baptized, God ripped the heavens open and said, that's my boy. And every time we bring a child in, we're saying, this is God's child. This was so important to the reformer Martin Luther. When he was working to reform the church, he was called every name in the book. He was called the spawn of Satan. And sometimes he wondered if he was doing the right thing. And as he contemplated his life, when all the critics were coming against him, he would stand up and say, but I am baptized. I am a child of God. Remember a man in my previous church. He was in his 60s, and I didn't know much about his life, but one day he wrote me a note, and on the note he said, Pastor, I would very much like to be baptized. Well, I was surprised. I figured he had been baptized already. But his relatives told me that he lived a very difficult life. He had been bounced from home to home. He really didn't feel like he had any home. He went to the United States. He became a wonderful father and husband to his wife and father to his kids. And he was a good churchman. But he had that restlessness. So one day he said to me, I want to be baptized. So we baptized him. And I remember the day of his baptism. It was like a transformation had taken place. Now this man loved the Lord Jesus. And he had been a churchman. But it was as if he understood, I am God's boy now. And that held him for the rest of his life. We are God's children. There was another lesson in here that theologians have debated for the century since it was written, and I'm not going to get into a theological debate, but it was kind of a strange story where there was a group of people who had been baptized, but the Holy Spirit hadn't come, and theologians have been arguing with them, each other, ever since about that. But I want to look at the profound truth in this. The apostles heard that there were some folks in Samaria who had heard the word of God and believed. Now, Jews and Samaritans didn't just hate each other. They loathed each other. By race, they were cousins, but they had centuries-old blood feuds. That's why when you read the story of the Good Samaritan, it's scandalous, because the people in that time would have said to Jesus, the only Good Samaritan is a dead one. They despised each other. So the fact that people in Samaria could hear the word of God and listen was stunning to the apostles. So they had to send people out to find out if it was true. And when they went, they found that, yes, it was true. The people had turned to Jesus. But they said the Holy Spirit, the gift of that Spirit of God, hadn't come on them. And I think God delayed it because the good Jews needed to go and see that their hated Samaritans were members of their family. And the Bible says that the apostles came and laid hands on the Samaritans. Now, when you lay hands, those are hands of blessing. Anytime you hear in the Bible that someone laid hands, usually the fathers would lay hands on the eldest son to convey the blessing. Hands were laid on the church to convey blessing. And so these apostles came, these Jews who would never have thought to go into Samaria on their own, came over to the hated cousins and laid hands of blessing on them. What a picture that is for us who have come home to Jesus. We also need to be a homecoming for people outside of these walls that feel restless, that are not at home in themselves, might not be at home in the walls of their home, their own houses, might not feel at home in this community. We are to be homecoming for them. What a gift God gives us. Wherever we go, the Lord has placed his seal on us and said, that's my child. And wherever we go, we're to bring his blessing to another. Let us pray. Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling. Calling for you and for me. See on the portals, he's waiting and watching. Watching for you and for me. Come home. Come home, you who are weary, come home. Softly and tenderly, Jesus is calling, calling, O sinner. Come home. Lord, I thank you that wherever we find ourselves, we are home when we are with you. I ask for that restless one today that hasn't found home yet, that your Spirit would be upon that one to bring them home. And help us to be a homecoming for all whom we meet this week. In Jesus' name, amen.